Bogarty.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. Now, before we get started, want to just tell you a couple things.
Okay.
One, fresh batteries in the recorder.
Yeah, the last couple of minutes of last week's show was au naturel, if you will.
Now, I'm hearing myself, and I don't know if it's my phone. It shouldn't be, but it's possible.
No, you are hearing yourself. That's because, from whatever reason. All right, try it again.
Okay. That's better.
You know yes. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. When I record the podcast here at the office, I unplug the speaker cables from the mixer.
Ah, that makes sense.
However, and I had unplugged the speaker cables from the mixer. However, the quarter-inch cable was still just touching the metal sheath of the input, and so it was still making contact.
So from this, I can understand you're in the office. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm at Annex.
Now, I would say this. For every once in a while, when you were at Annex, a radio station would come over your speakers, wouldn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. In fact, I can hear KUOW through my speakers.
Ah, there we go. So, yeah. Another thing that I need to do, I have a couple of apologies. The first one is not as egregious and more recent, which was I accidentally butt-dialed you.
You did. It was
and
fun.
And I apologize.
I was wondering why you were calling me. It was like 10:30 in the morning on a Wednesday or whatever it was.
Okay. And did you hear any of my conversation or anything like that?
No, but you kept hitting buttons, so I kept hearing the button pushing, and I yelled for you a number of times, hoping that you might be able to hear me coming out of your pocket. But I couldn't hear anything else.
Okay. So, second thing to apologize for, and this one is a little bit more convoluted, and people who have not listened to the last show should listen to the last show.
Okay.
So, my wife, Jennifer, who does corrections for the show, and we'll get more into that later,
yeah,
said, I don't know if I can continue listening to last week's episode. And I was like, well, why not? And she's like, the way that you were talking to Ben. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so, if you already know what I'm talking about, the apology is forthcoming. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I am going to explain it to you and to the audience. Last week, we were talking about YouTube monetization.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you had a YouTube channel that had been demonetized.
Yeah.
And Jennifer said that I then dismissively said, well, too bad for you, and then started talking about something else, and then you started mentioning, you know, about how much you lost or whatever, or, you know, how much you had made at one point in time, and then I said, well, too bad about that, and then launched into something else, and I was like, oh, I don't think, I couldn't have been that, I don't remember that, possible. And I listened to it, and yeah, it's completely like, you're like, yeah, so then they demonetized the thing. I'm like, well, that's too bad. Anyway, and then went on my way. So I am sorry about that. I apologize.
Well, apology accepted. If it means anything, it didn't really stick with me longer than trying to keep up.
Well, that makes me feel good. But yeah, I have noticed that, the other thing is I was eating at the time, and I think that's the saddest part, is that I think I just wanted to eat more food, and I'm making it worse now, but if I had listened more closely, I could have also been eating while you were talking about it, which is, you know, so not only am I selfish in that way... But I'm also.
Can you not hear when you are eating?
Oh no, not at all, not at all. I think I simply was like, I'm gonna eat some of this stuff, and And I think it was, you remember me talking about how spicy it was? See, I'm making it worse, Ben. I'm making it worse. The food was so spicy and good that I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
You were pretty focused on how good that food was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, Taj in Edwardsville, Illinois. If you're ever in Edwardsville, Illinois, why? Yeah. And look me up. Indeed. Because it really is a great place to live if you don't have any other plans. If that makes sense. Like, now, if you just want to hang out at your house and, you know,
I know you
sometimes
do not,
go places.
I know you don't know the demographics of the entire city, but would you say that a majority of the residents in Edwardsville have always lived in Edwardsville?
You know, it's actually funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of people that I know from here are still living here, right? And when I say a lot, I mean, I didn't have a really wide social group, but, you know, a lot of them live here or have moved back. Some folks live in St. Louis now. They made that move.
Right.
But here's the thing. A lot of other people, because the school district is supposed to be good here, and I believe it is good.
Really?
Yeah.
Illinois. I've never really considered how well they fund basic education, but I have that big city bias where small town schools aren't very good.
Right, and see that's an interesting thing, because Seattle schools were worse than the ones here in our experience.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because, I mean, it's simply because, you know, you're keeping up with a lot more students in the cities.
Yeah, they're Seattle public schools, I believe, are vastly underfunded for the amount of students that they push
through.
That's
right. And that's the thing, too. When we talk about Illinois schools, keep in mind, Chicago is in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I think that I know for a fact, Chance the Rapper is doing a lot to help public schools. And I know that's weird.
If someone in entertainment can do
more for schools than a government, but I'm sorry.
If only Seattle had, let's say, millionaires and or, dare I say, billionaires to help out with civic duties.
Well, I do think that Bill Gates, for example, has some kind of education thing he's doing. I don't know what it is, but I believe the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is an educational.
I'm pretty sure that they do have. You know, the Seattle school district is one of the pies that they have their fingers in.
Oh, that reminds me of something. Okay. Check this out. This is something I realized a little while ago. Because who else is in Seattle? Well, of course, Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And
the richest person
remember
in the world.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I actually saw him. I stood mere feet from him at one point in time.
Yeah.
He was riding around the office on a Segway. and it was kind of cool. But here's the thing, right? He has a company called Blue Origin. Are you familiar with this?
I am familiar. It's his space company, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so here's my thought. Are you familiar with the company store?
The company store? That's the name?
Or the company town?
I am. No, I'm not.
These are concepts from back in the 30s before unionization and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I could be wrong in the timelines, but the concept is this. The company town is a town that is built by the company, and you live in the company town, and you buy all of your goods at the company store. Everything is from the company, and then you work at the company, and it's a symbiotic kind of relationship.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Now, doing that on Earth, right, you run into problems and stuff like that. Is there, like, governments and things that keep track of stuff and all that? But, Ben, if you can go into space and your space station is the company town and the company store, and you have a caste system where, you know, you're prime or you're not prime, or think about it. It's simple. I think that's why they're really into space travel, because they want to move to space.
Well, you've
where they don't have.
You've heard the story that Elon Musk started SpaceX because he's actually an alien and just wants to get back home.
Oh, now see, that makes sense. Have we talked about Elon Musk and the Mothman prophecies?
Have we? We've talked about a Mothman, but I don't believe it was connected to Elon Musk at all.
Okay, so with the Mothman prophecies, right? There is an alien guy who, by the way, is driving a futuristic car type thing, or a spaceship, one of the two. But a guy in a car, like, pulls over because the guy in the futuristic car or spaceship or whatever, like, sort of flags him down. And he goes and he talks to him.
He's thumbing his way past the solar system.
That's right. And the guy's name, who pulls him over, he says, "My name is Idris Cold." Idris Cold. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if I had a random, "Oh, this is what an Earth person sounds like" generator, and it spit out Idris Cold, would Elon Musk not fit in that same paradigm?
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
It does. Yeah. It does sound like an alien's version of the human name generator.
Yeah. Now, of course, my apologies to whatever country he's from, and the fact that that name is actually very normal over there. I'm sorry. Is he South African?
I don't know.
He's not British and he's not Russian. He's like,
you know,
some...
I don't know if I've ever heard him speak. Does he have an accent?
I believe he has a sort of accent, yes.
Is he somewhat positive, like Middle European, say like Croatia or Slovakia?
No, see, yeah, that's the thing, is it doesn't, his accent, when I heard it now, Jennifer, my wife, who is very good at accents, will tell you I am not good at doing or understanding accents when I hear them.
Yeah.
Like where they're from.
No, I have a terrible ear for that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. He does not strike me as being Eastern European.
Okay.
No, I am familiar with how those accents sound a little bit more than a lot of other accents. And yeah, no, he does not sound Eastern European. So, but yeah, anyway, so that's a very good, either, you know, from outer space or a time traveler or whatever.
He is not of this world.
I mean, he did kind of show up on the scene with an electric car, pretty much, right?
Well,
did we hear about him that much before that happened?
Yeah, he co-founded PayPal.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait a second. Well, that's not...
In fact, there's a really famous picture of him with the other co-founder of PayPal, Peter something or other.
Thiel?
Peter Thiel, that's it. And
is it really?
I think so. He's...
Because if that's the guy who, like, sued Gawker or something like that, I think.
Well, this guy, this other co-founder of PayPal is this really hateful conservative person who...
That sounds like the guy, yeah.
I know a lot of people who will not do business with PayPal because of this guy's involvement. But yeah, there's a picture of the two of them around a computer, and it's one of these like early 90s beige PCs. Yeah. And Elon Musk looks older than he does now.
Really?
Which is what... having billions of dollars will do for you. It will magically make your skin taut and shiny and grow your hair back.
Oh man, that is weird and crazy. Either that or yeah, it's Here's the idea. What about this? He is in the process of inventing time travel, and he knows it will work because he then went back in time and started PayPal.
Right.
It makes so much sense, yeah. Man. So, you know, there's a funny thing when you turn, like, 45, which I'm going to be doing on Ramadan, the start of Ramadan.
I did
May
not
15th.
Know that. I knew that part.
Yeah, yep. Also, the Mercurialia, the Feast of Mercury, May 15th.
Somebody I know is going to have a baby who's due to be born on May 15th.
Whoa! Oh, the chosen one, finally. I can move on.
Your work here is done.
So, find out who that is and let me know.
Oh, I know who it is. I just don't want to say.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Is it anyone that I know?
No, it is no one you know.
Oh, okay. So you're worried that someone will listen to this podcast and then be like, oh, this person's having a baby.
I'm having, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm not as vague here as you are,
yeah.
But I do not want to talk about people's unborn children yet.
Oh, yeah. It's not our business, yeah. First of all. And then second of all, yeah, right? So, what was I going to say? Oh, when you get older, like me, and there's a comedian, right, that is funny. Like, let's say Tawny Newsom from, she's on Spontanean Nation with Paul F. Tompkins, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's really funny. I why haven't I heard of her before? And then it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because back when I'm thinking, why didn't I hear about her then? She was a child. Because people are younger than me. Like, a lot of people who are in positions where I, at one point in time, thought, well, when I grow up, maybe I will do that.
Yeah.
Are now 20 years younger than me, or whatever.
I had that.
It's pretty exciting.
You know, when you do get older and you go through those phases of I'm of this age. That's how old this person was. Like, when I was 27, Kurt Cobain was 27 when he killed himself. You know,
yeah.
George Harrison had just turned 25 when he wrote, Because, this great Beatles song. It's something else on the Abbey Road album. But anyway, it's like
Blackbird?
Oh yeah, no, that was Paul. But
that's the only George Harrison song I know.
I think it's Here Comes the Sun. Actually, I think he was like
there you go.
I read in the liner notes for the Beatles anthology that he recorded the demo of it on his 25th birthday, and I was like 25 or 24 when I read that. I'm like, oh great.
Well, and that's the other thing is I don't know for sure. If I've told you this before, but Jennifer went a long time thinking that George Harrison wrote a couple of Beatles songs that he didn't write, because I thought that George Harrison wrote them, and I said, oh yeah, George Harrison wrote this and this and this, but I didn't know. I was lying.
A good rule of thumb.
Not lying, just wrong.
A good rule of thumb to know who wrote what song was who was the lead singer on that song. But anyway, so as you get older, you hit these milestones where you're like, oh, yeah, so this person of prestige is my age now. You know, I had that feeling when, like, I was old enough to be a professional baseball player, you know? And,
uh-huh.
then I felt old when, people of my age can be professional football coaches or baseball managers. Now I'm at that age where the people who run the organizations are my age.
Yeah, exactly. I'm of that age now where instead of looking at, you know, oh, wow, this guy was only this age when he started this, I'm looking into, Bob Hoskins was actually 40 when he first started acting or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the late bloomers of stuff. Buckminster Fuller didn't get into whatever until he did that other thing.
David Sedaris didn't publish his first book until he was 40.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I'm past that now. Curses.
I know.
No. But I keep forgetting this. I have published a book. And it's like a legit published a book thing.
I've also tried to stop comparing myself, to others. you know.
Yes.
And
oh, that
also
helps.
To like famous rock stars and athletes and actors.
Yes. You know, Ben, really, what I'm focused on is being a father and a good citizen of the United States of America. And, hey, you know, one doesn't necessarily help you do the other,
hey. But
it should. And that's what I'm going for.
Speaking of the United States of America.
Yeah, yeah. What about it, Ben?
Oh, it's just a garbage fire right now.
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't actually stopped looking at Twitter. I haven't stopped reading news articles and all that. Yeah. Yet, however, I have sort of stopped paying attention to all the news. I'll get like fixated on something. Well, like I was fixated on the. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You can't really pay attention to all the news anyway.
Yeah. True. There's so much, and it keeps happening.
I know. It's like the time. It keeps changing.
Exactly. So, what you're familiar, of course, with a comedian who used to be in Seattle and then went to New York and stuff like that, Hari Kondabolu.
I am familiar
Hari
with
Kondabolu.
Him.
Yeah. I like him. I think he's really funny. Not everyone's cup of tea, especially if you're, like a conservative person who doesn't like thinking about how they might have gone wrong at some point in time.
I've never met him, but I have seen him live. He played Weird and Awesome one night.
Did he really?
He did.
Oh my gosh, I wish I had been there.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
It was unpublicized. Yeah, Emmett wasn't allowed to say that he was playing the show.
Oh, nice.
He's also performed at 18th and Union with W. Kamau Bell.
Ah, yes. Wait, what is 18th and Union?
18th and Union is a small theater in the Central District. I'll let you guess where it's located. And it's run by David Gassner and Blair Feehan.
Oh, well, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Yeah, because, of course, W. Kamau Bell is, they sort of work together on that TV show that I can't think of.
Totally Biased?
Totally Biased, yes.
So, anyway, right. You brought up Hari Kondabolu because you were about to launch into his beef with Apu and The Simpsons and their response
yes,
to it.
Yes, yes, yes. Now the thing is, yeah, it happened just recently, Hari Kondabolu, Apu has been kind of a thorn in his side from the time that he was, a child. You know, it's basically the go-to, if you're gonna make fun of somebody, of South Asian descent, that is the thing that you as the bully will do.
Right.
Once that show came on. In fact, almost directly after it, I witnessed some kid do it to a guy who was a convenience store person. Now, the interesting thing, that convenience store person was white. But the kid did thank you, come again in that voice to the guy. And I think that the guy didn't like it. Like, the guy felt like he was being, I don't know, it's weird.
Nobody wants to be belittled at work, especially if you work in the service industry.
That's right. So, and it would have been kind of interesting, I don't know, to see if anybody else, I don't know, you could do a poll, I guess, or whatever. But I do think that it, not as offensive as it is to South Asians, but still kind of offensive to people, or annoying to people who work at convenience stores in general.
Right, and it's. I don't think it's because it's a white person doing that accent.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And now, I'm 45 years old, almost. I am a white dude I lived in rural America. I'm middle class. I will guarantee you that I have, in my personal life, done unflattering accents of people. And maybe I have, like, on stage or something. I don't know, but I'm just guessing that I probably have.
In the pantheon of your experience, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, because, yeah, I've been doing stuff for a while. That is not to say that, you know, Hank Azaria gets a pass from me. Just me saying it would be hypocritical of me to say that he's super bad. Except for one thing, and that's that I'm not doing it anymore.
Right.
Whereas I don't know if he, like if they wrote a Simpsons with Apu in it, would he have to do it? Is he on contract to do that voice?
I have no idea. When you've been doing something for however long that show's been on the air, you have ownership of it. And, you know, that's not the only voice that he does on the show. He does a bunch of other voices.
Exactly, yeah.
So if they suddenly replaced him with an actual Indian native,
yeah.
Like, would that be such a bad thing? I think audiences can get over that. And in fact, I think even most audiences would be like, well, okay, now I don't feel uncomfortable watching this character anymore.
You know,
unless the visual representation is also an issue. I have to admit, I haven't seen Hari's documentary. I don't know if it's only with the voice or if it's also the cartoonish aspect of this cartoon character.
Well, now the one thing, yeah, about the, I think it would be the voice more than anything,
yeah.
But I don't know for sure. Here's an interesting thing. The similarity between all of the people who are pushing back, they have some very specific things they say. One of that is, will you just now have a problem with it? Which, of course,
right.
He doesn't. You know, he's been... This has been kind of his, you know, great white whale thing.
Yeah.
So no.
And 22 years ago, he wasn't in a position to have the level of awareness that he can provide.
Exactly. Like you know, number two is they make fun of everybody equally.
Right. Right.
Why are you just upset about this guy? Which, of course, is, you know, pretty standard. It's because this is the guy that people use to mock me.
Yeah.
That's why this is the one that I'm talking about. But then, and tied to that, there are so many other things going on in the world. Why are you just focused on this? Which, of course, anyone who listens to Hari Kondabolu's stand-up knows this isn't the only thing he cares about.
Right.
Cares about a whole bunch of things. And there were people actually saying, what about this, this, and this? And the this, and this that they were saying what about happened to be some of the things that I know for a fact he has addressed in the past. So that was kind of nuts and crazy.
It's like somebody going up to J.R.R. Tolkien and after he published The Hobbit, going, how come you're only concerned about hobbits? What about elves and orcs?
Right, exactly. And it's like they're in there. You should read the book. You should read the book and you'll see. So yeah. And then the other one, of course, is, yeah, this guy nobody heard about before is now, you know, going after the Simpsons. I hope you sell some books or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Not sell some books, sell your movie or whatever they say.
Right.
And it's like he already did sell it to True TV. That's why you know about it. And number two, he isn't a nobody because he was actually able to get this put on the air.
Right.
And if you see the pushback, it's not like people are going to take, you know, some guy off the street and, first of all, help him make a documentary because he has a lot of people helping him, like, people being interviewed and things like that. That's number one. And then number two, you know, you'd have to get a meeting. You'd have to talk to the people. They'd have to think that, yes, this is valid enough to put on the air. I'm going to get people to watch it. So anyway,
also, I think the one of the answers to the why now question is because we've reached that point where people are willing to listen to others when it comes to sensitive issues like that. I think back in like 19, whenever The Simpsons started, 88, 89, something like that, if somebody were to say they had a problem with that, it wouldn't get a lot of traction, I don't think.
Yeah, no one. In fact, that's the thing, is the idea that, oh, now people are complaining about it. I know that there had to have been people at the time who were like, I almost want to go back and find, you know, news articles from that time.
Right.
And see what people say. But the thing is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. People didn't care at that
time.
Probably
some...
And when I say people, I mean the people that were doing
probably
it.
Probably some small-town newspaper columnist who, you know, on Apu's very first appearance was like, you know, funny Simpsons episode marred by problematic racist stereotypes.
Yeah. Exactly. And people would be like, oh, it's a joke, shut up, or whatever. That's the other thing.
It's a cartoon. Lighten up.
Exactly. And it's like what do you think those things are about? And then the people would say there is no comedy without making fun of somebody else. I'm like, learn about comedy. There's so many things.
You know,
so many other things.
It's people who aren't funny who always say those things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Speaking of people who aren't funny, Dane Cook is coming to the Emerald Queen Casino. I just thought I'd mention that. They played a couple snippets of his routine in the promo, and I'm like, is this the best stuff you could find to promote
now, Ben,
Dane Cook?
You are going to be very surprised for me to say this, but Dane Cook has actually been doing, in my opinion, now when I'm not talking about necessarily comedy, but he's been doing good work, and by that I mean like people that I like. Paul F. Tompkins and, you know, Scott Aukerman and all that have been interviewing and talking to him as just a regular guest kind of thing.
I would not be surprised if he's a normal person and can give good interviews. But his stand-up is terrible.
Very charming.
His stand-up is terrible.
I will admit that I have not seen his stand-up in quite some time, if at all.
Anyway, that was an aside. I don't think he's funny. I've heard some of his stand-up. I don't think he's funny. I've not heard any interviews with him. I'm sure he's a I'm sure he's a charming dude.
What I'm saying, and this is going to sound so bad. I don't mean it to be bad.
Are you a Dane Cook apologist?
No. Well, sort of. And this is what I'm going to say. I feel like Dane Cook is the Nickelback of comedy. And by that, I mean this. People, he's very popular, right? And yet people use him as an example of a bad thing of the art form, a bad example of the art form. Right? Oh, I bet you like Nickelback. Oh, I bet you like Dane Cook. And yet, they are still more competent than we realize because of what is being said. You know what I mean? Like, the people in Nickelback can play their instruments, you know? Dane Cook can tell a joke. He is capable of doing it.
But you've not heard any of his stand-up.
I have not heard any of his stand-up recently. I saw some of his stand-up back when it was on television, like 10 years ago. I don't know what he's doing now. I know he has the thing with the fingers, where I think it's like you're flipping off someone twice or something.
That's a visual joke, and it doesn't really play well right now.
Yeah. Fishbone used to have the same sort of symbol. It's you put down. So everybody listening to the podcast,
No, don't look him up on YouTube. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Look at the back of your hand and then fold down your pinky and your pointer finger at the second knuckle, so that you've got your like your pointer finger knuckle and your pinky knuckle are up and your two other fingers are up. That's kind of the symbol. It's weird.
So,
but that's something that I've seen him do.
The show notes.
That's all I know about
Paul
him.
Goody is a Dane Cook apologist.
Yeah.
Defends Dane Cook. Because Paul Tompkins likes him.
I never thought. Well, he was at least civil with him and talked to him. And like I said, he's a dude. He's a normal guy. And I haven't heard any of his comedy. So I can't judge it.
So see, there you go.
Look, here's another thing. As far as I'm doing it, when I was a kid, loved Gallagher. I thought he was hilarious. Thought he was the greatest thing. I had an audio cassette of him. The fact that he was smashing watermelons with a big wooden mallet, thought it was great. Now,
are you saying case change, or are you saying Gallagher's a terrible person?
Well, the thing is,
but I've heard that he is a terrible person.
I heard that snippets of that Mark Maron interview went badly.
Yeah, but he walked out. It was awesome.
Yeah. I did not pay to see him when he came to Edwardsville, which he did. Nor would I. But you know what I did feel bad about?
Wait, is this?
I didn't pay to see Michael Winslow. And he came.
Is this in
to
your
Edwardsville
first
also.
Or second tour of Edwardsville? Was he there just recently, or was he there when you were first Gallagher?
Gallagher. It was like in the. This is the first time.
Okay.
Did I mention that he was here one time before?
I don't know. No, I was just. I didn't know if he was like touring recently, and you were like, he came through last week, and I didn't pay to go see him.
No. This is like a year ago, maybe.
A year ago?
Within the last year, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's still your second tour of Edwardsville.
Yeah.
We got contacted at Sketchfest by Michael Winslow's agent, who asked if we wanted to host him.
Oh,
so
wow.
We could have.
And you didn't?
We
did you?
No, we didn't.
Did you? Could you not have? You couldn't afford his rider, or well, you just didn't want to?
Actually, our artistic director at the time responded and said, yeah, you know, let us tell us what the deal is. Tell us what, you know, what the financial concerns are. And we'll think about it. We weren't going to think about it, but they never got back to him.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he also said, we're a small sketch comedy festival. You might have the wrong impression
us. Well, I don't know. I mean, I would have seen it. I really would have. But I just didn't have the money or the time wasn't good. One of the two.
So we got off on a Dane Cook rant. Let's wrap up the whole Hari Kondabolu versus The Simpsons thing.
Okay. So here's, do you have a thought?
I was just going to say that their response to it, I haven't watched The Simpsons in... I can say the last 10 years or so, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And I don't currently watch them, and I don't know... I haven't seen the episode where they responded to all of this, but I heard... Mm-hmm. I've seen headlines where it was just... It was a dick move, what they did. They're basically just ignoring it.
This was the basic thing. I saw a monologue, and they gave it to Lisa, which... is an issue because of, you know, who Lisa represents kind of on the show.
Yeah.
They gave it to Lisa, and Lisa was talking about, you know, should we be mad about something that was beloved and even celebrated that's now become politically incorrect? And then she looks at a picture of Apu that says, don't have a cow man on it.
Okay.
And then... Marge says, we'll get to that later. And then Lisa says, if at all. And then that's the end.
Okay, so they're just sweeping it under the rug then.
Or yeah, like, we're not going to talk about this. And, you know, it wasn't great. I think that you've hit upon the solution.
Which is?
Which is Hari Kondabolu... should voice Apu with his normal voice.
Right.
And just be like, oh, hey, Homer.
Yeah.
And Homer says, why aren't you doing the accent? And he's like, I don't want to anymore. Or whatever. And then just every time that you see him, you know, put Hari Kondabolu on staff. He's the new voice of Apu.
What they could do at The Simpsons is they hire Hari to voice Apu. They change it. They don't acknowledge it. But Homer knows, Homer has something up. Homer knows something's up. But then Homer actually rationalizes it away by saying, well, you know, I'm more woke these days because The Simpsons like to be hip and with the kids. I'm more woke these days. So I don't hear the caricature that I used to hear. I hear his normal voice.
Now that is actually good. Okay, Ben, you and I could pitch this to The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Homer goes to a sensitivity training thing mandated because he does something bad.
Yeah.
And then when he comes out of it, Apu is voiced by Hari Kondabolu, not doing an accent.
All the bad racial stereotypes that they have on The Simpsons are toned down quite a bit. The Willie, the Scottish groundskeeper.
Yes. It's not bad. It's not bad.
He just sounds like Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, actually, that would be great. Have it be a celebrity-filled...
Yeah.
Groundskeeper Willie is Craig Ferguson. The character of Luigi, all people who, oh man, if they were going to do that, I would want Anthony DeVito to be the voice of Luigi.
Which one?
As Anthony DeVito's voice. Anthony DeVito is an actor.
No, which one's Luigi?
He's the Italian chef who has a offensive Italian guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Anthony DeVito is an actor and comedian and is really big on the fact that Italian stereotypes are still stereotypes and people shouldn't be doing them.
Right.
And it's great because people...
Boy, he
people
should not watch The Sopranos.
Trust me. He's an actor who goes out for auditions all the time. Well-versed in the problems that are happening with this kind of stuff.
I have heard that from my friends who are ethnically diverse, where they are just asked to do the worst things during auditions.
Yes.
To just amp up the stereotype. Because being a pasty white dude, I never saw that. I never even knew that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're already perfect. You don't need to do anything. If they're looking for pasty white dude, same thing with me. If they're looking for, that's right. I don't think we've ever talked about this, Ben.
What's that?
But one of the only things I got brought in for. I almost hate to say this. I got brought in for a Hanukkah thing.
When you say brought in, what do you mean?
Hanukkah, home for Hanukkah. It was a thing that was being filmed in Seattle.
Oh, I see.
A film. Film audition. And I was like, you know, it's weird. I didn't understand. And Jennifer, my wife, said, I think they brought you in because they think that you're Jewish.
Right.
I didn't know that I was, you know, ethnically Jewish at the time. And so I was like, should I do an accent or should I not do an accent? And Jennifer's like, well, do whatever you think you should do. And I don't think, like, I was like, should I change my voice at all? Should I do anything? And my God, Ben, I do not remember that audition. I believe it was the one where I thought that I had the lines memorized, but I didn't. I don't remember exactly which audition that is.
Did they want you to have the lines memorized during an audition?
No, they didn't. No, they for sure didn't.
You just thought you tried to impress them?
If it was that one or the other one, I was just rookie move after rookie move. As soon as I came in, they're like, okay, no. No, that's thank you, but no. And I'm glad because I can't even imagine.
What, they were saying no because you weren't Jewish enough?
No. They were saying no because I wasn't a professional actor at all. Really?
Well, don't sell yourself short.
Well, I mean, I think they were expecting a little bit better audition than what I gave. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, maybe it was charming for me to apologize for everything I was doing and asking for help, but I think they're like, ooh, boy, I don't know if we want to turn this guy in. You know, if we send this guy out and he ends up being, you know what I mean? Like, there's being funny on stage.
Yeah.
And then there's being on set with a whole bunch of people and having to act like an actual person. And at the time that I went to that audition, I don't think that I was really the latter at all.
It's not the easiest thing to bounce from big theater acting to small film acting.
That is very true. Very true. I'm Team Hari Kondabolu on this. Hopefully The Simpsons can maybe do something better. But again, the weirdest thing was having Lisa be the one who delivered the
line. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move on to
and people online are jerks. Anyway,
let's move on to corrections.
Hey, corrections. Okay, so there are some.
I just pulled them up.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Ben and I never do any research, and we never look stuff up.
As is plainly obvious.
Yeah, and the idea basically it comes from a place of both laziness. But also of investigation. I made a hypothesis at one point in time that people think they're smarter than they actually are because they can just look stuff up now. And so you have the right answer at your fingertips constantly. And so you think that you're smarter than you are. I thought, well, why don't we try to do the show without looking stuff up? Why don't we try to answer questions? That was one of the things. And we would take questions and we'd answer them without looking them up. But then we realized that we don't have to do anything intentionally, we'll get stuff wrong just by being ourselves.
We don't have to proactively try to be incorrect.
Exactly. And so now if you write to us at Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. You can write corrections to us, or if you so desire, you can ask us a question to answer on the podcast, and no one sends us questions, but you should feel free to.
Yeah.
If you're the first person to ever send us a question, I bet you Ben and I will send you something in the mail. I don't know what it is, but we could do that.
Well, I'll give that to Paul since he's the one who brought it up, but there's no guarantee that we will get the answer right in this question that
you
sent.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we will talk about it for at least 5 to 10 minutes.
Exactly. The corrections that we get normally are sent by my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who is very smart and knows more than I do. And Ben, I wasn't going to speak for you, but she does answer the questions.
Also gave me some good tips on where to sit when I'm out there this fall going to a baseball game at Busch Stadium.
Oh, hey. It's actually at Busch Stadium. That's great.
It is at Busch Stadium.
That's... because there are two different stadiums now, I think.
Oh, are there? Pretty sure it's Busch Stadium. Okay, now you're making me paranoid. I got to look it up.
Busch Stadium is the famous one.
That's where the Cardinals play, right?
Yep.
The baseball team?
Unless they don't anymore, because I don't follow baseball.
Anyway, let's get on to corrections, shall we? We were talking about Matilda, apparently, in the Roald Dahl's Matilda. And
that's right.
I guess we couldn't figure out who played Matilda, but it was Mara Wilson.
Yeah, that's her. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. I couldn't remember her name.
I should really pay attention to what we talk about. I don't remember talking about Matilda at all.
She's on Twitter, and she's smart and funny.
Oh, okay.
And works with Welcome to Night Vale sometimes.
Gotcha. And she probably likes Dane Cook.
Right. This is, oh my God.
We were talking about,
Is not going to let this go either.
Anyway, I'm not, we were talking about how you were transitioning to metric.
Oh yeah.
And you were talking about having your GPS give voice commands to you, and you say, in 100 kilometers, you'll turn left. She goes on to correct you, saying 100 kilometers is about 62 miles. You probably meant in 100 meters, turn left, which is about 320 feet. So how's that? How's that conversion to metric going for you?
So far, so good. And really, all I'm doing is, the big thing is, I figured out that if it's under 15 degrees Celsius, I wear my parka.
Right.
If it's 15 to like 22, it's nice. And if it's over 22, it's too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy.
Well, I mean, there's a corollary. Not a corollary. That's not the right word. There's a similar thing with Fahrenheit. If you look at it in degrees of like a 100 scale.
Yep.
Right? So from 0 to about, 30, 40, 50, it's cold.
Uh-huh.
From 60, like a low passing grade, to like, 80, 85, to like a B minus or a B, it's okay. Mm. And then from 85 to 100, way too effing hot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Although my tolerance levels are different than yours, very, very similar.
Yeah. Anyway,
metric time is difficult. Nobody likes to follow that.
I saw this really interesting video on YouTube from the, I think it was on the Numberphile channel, which is a really great channel. That you should follow. But it was this mathematician who was talking about why we have base 10 in mathematics. And how that's connected to the fact that we have 10 fingers.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, yeah. I've read a similar
essay. Yeah, and if we had 12 fingers, it wouldn't be a decimal system. It would be a dozenal system, base 12, which is a lot easier to do in your head when it comes to basic math.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Look it up. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it. But anyway, that's a tangent. She goes on to talk about how metric conversions. She says the metric system isn't too hard to convert for certain measurements. A kilometer is a little more than 0.6 of a mile. A kilogram is about 2.2 pounds. I highly recommend having your weight taken in kilos the next time you go to the doctor. Because it's gonna be a surprise. And a meter is a little more than a yard, which is 3 feet. 1 liter is a little more than a quart. She then goes on to say, I can't do grams. Yes, I know it should be easy, but teaspoon to gram or tablespoon to gram doesn't work in my brain yet, or Celsius. 32 Fahrenheit is 0 C. 80 degrees Fahrenheit is 26 Celsius. 100 Fahrenheit is 37 Celsius. Ah! She writes out in all caps, ah! Anyway, and that is it for corrections.
Hey, all right. The thing that I always remembered with Celsius is the song "Beds Are Burning." I think it's called.
Yeah, by Midnight Oil.
Midnight Oil. There's a thing that talks about how the desert lives and breathes at 45 degrees. And before I was thinking about it, I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense. It gets cold at night in the desert. That's probably true. But no.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting thing, Ben.
What's that, Paul?
We front-loaded the podcast
we
with
did.
A lot of information.
Yeah.
And then corrections were pretty long. It's about time.
Time?
For me to say, hey!
Oh, God.
Betty!
What?
It's yelling for Betty time.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so Betty...
I just made my nachos!
Oh, Betty just made her nachos. Here, come here, Bay.
And she's going to eat them,
too. Stick this in your ear. No, she's not going to eat them. yet. Okay.
What?
All right, so Ben...
Yes.
I need to let you know something.
What's that?
This Betty right here, Betty George Goody Pratt, my daughter Betty.
Not the other one.
Made the honor roll.
The honor roll? Well,
today.
Congratulations.
Well, Now, the most recent one.
Kiwi.
Yeah, very good. Betty, what's your favorite subject in school?
I don't know.
All of them.
Do you like any subjects?
No.
I didn't think
none
so.
None of them.
Betty really dislikes school, which is why her...
I don't really dislike it.
Oh, really?
It's just not the best.
Yeah. Well, it makes the fact that she's on the honor roll that much better because she's not really...
I was the same. School wasn't my favorite, but, you know, I tolerated it, but, yeah, it wasn't my favorite. I didn't really hate it, though.
What? Yeah, I don't think she hates it necessarily.
You know what I hated when I went to school? I had to work really hard to get good grades, and I was friends with some really smart people, and they didn't have to put any effort at all into getting good grades.
Yeah, that's, I'm familiar with that. Whole deal. Oh, look. Looks like Betty is walking away. So, Ben.
Her tolerance for just you and I talking has really gone down.
Well, it's also the siren song of the nachos, I think. Because she is, you know, so wow, boy, 4 minutes. 4 minutes, Ben. 4 minutes, Ben. That's what people would. He'll paint any car for 4 minutes and then stop. How much does it cost? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But now you got 4 minutes worth of paint on your car.
Yeah, maybe one stripe. That'd be good enough.
Ooh,
I guess.
Racing stripe. We'll make your car go faster.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Gremlins. Did you see it?
Did I see it? I saw it in like 1984.
Yeah. Was Stripe the name of the bad gremlin?
God, I know Gizmo was the good gremlin. I don't remember any of the names of the other ones.
Was it Stripe or Spike? It was one of the two. I think it was Stripe.
Spike sounds more appropriate, though. Just, you know, judging by what they look like when they gremlined out.
Oh.
That's another movie.
Is another thing.
One of those movies from like the 80s where like I'm interested to see if it holds up today.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it. Joe Dante, I think, directed that, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Joe Dante is a guy that directs movies that people care about.
Like Gremlins.
Sometimes. Yeah, like Gremlins. Other stuff, too. I can't remember what I was going to name some of his movies, and I'm like, I don't know any. John Carpenter, on the other hand, lots of things.
Yeah.
The Thing.
The Thing.
Big Trouble in Little China. I think that John Carpenter is actually one of my favorite directors. Definitely one of my favorite from the 80s.
Speaking of
Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, Halloween.
I've never seen Halloween, but that's the one with Jamie Lee Curtis, right?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. In the Mouth of Madness is another one.
You're not looking these up, are you?
No. I'm thinking. Okay. I'm actually using my brain.
You're actually thinking.
I
watched a movie recently. I watched The Abyss, but I watched the director's cut, which is like a half hour longer than the theatrical version.
Uh-huh.
And I gotta say, sometimes they edit things out of a movie for a reason.
Did you see Annihilation?
I did not.
Apparently it's good. A friend of mine saw it. Andy, you know Andy. He saw it.
Andy Burnside Weaver.
Yes, Andy Burnside Weaver. That is correct. That's the last thing. I'll leave it at this. There's this thing that happens in the Midwest, Ben. You might have seen this
thunderstorms.
On Twitter, but I'll talk about it here too. What's that?
I said thunderstorms.
Yeah. But there's this other thing that happens in the Midwest.
Tornadoes.
Where someone will like, okay, so here's the scene.
Okay.
Imagine the Barnes & Noble. This is a different store, but I'm going to use the Barnes & Noble as an example. Imagine the Barnes & Noble in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
That coffee place. Okay?
You mean the Starbucks downstairs?
Yeah, exactly. The coffee place downstairs from Barnes & Noble. You know, it's in the bookstore, but it's also a coffee
place.
Most
Barnes & Noble have a small cafe these days. They're not necessarily Starbucks. But that's a small detail. Get on with your story.
Okay, so you know... You're in there and my friend Andy is there. He's like, hey, Paul. I'm like, hey, and we're talking about stuff and all that. And I ordered a hot chocolate for Betty And Betty goes up and she sees there's a hot chocolate there.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, hey, excuse me, hello, hey. And this guy who's sitting next to me goes, Jesus f-ing Christ. Like that.
Okay.
Now, this maybe, I'm talking about what happened at
children should be seen and not heard.
Well, that's the thing. This is something that happens in the Midwest that I don't think happens in Seattle as much. People have this voice that they use where they talk. You're not supposed to acknowledge that they've just talked. They're saying it just out of earshot. And if you turn around, they'll even pretend like they didn't say anything.
Right?
Right? It's like gaslighting, kind of, except in real life. The other thing was I was talking to Jennifer on my phone at the time. I said, I'll talk to you in just a second. I hung up. I walked over, and I looked at the guy. He's a white guy in his 20s, backwards baseball cap kind of guy. And I said, I apologize. And he was like, what for? And I was like, and at first, like this fear gripped me. I'm like, what if what I thought just happened didn't happen?
Yeah. Like,
what if I've gone crazy?
What if he's reading the sports scores and he saw that his favorite team lost and that's where his reaction came from?
Or even what if he didn't say anything and I just imagined that he said, I'm not sure. And then I say, I'm sorry, you seem upset and I wanted to apologize for anything I had to do with that. And then he said, well, obviously that woman's trying to work and your kid is harassing her and you guys have just been, and then he makes little talky faces with his hands, right? You guys have been like, no, since you came in here. And it's rude. To which I then said, I can understand. People come here to relax, and I'm sorry that is not happening for you, and I apologize for my part in it. I will try to do better. And then I sat down. Now, here's the thing. Everything that I did on the surface was incredibly polite and nice.
Right.
And, I took a hit. But in passive-aggressive Midwest culture, that was the dickest of dick moves I could ever have done. Because there were a lot of people, and they were watching our interaction, everything. And then I sat down, and I didn't say anything for the rest of my time there. And I thought about it, and I wrote this up on Twitter. I'm like, so if ever anybody does something like this, this is an effective way to kind of, you're actually aggressively complying with what they want you to do. And yet in the end you kind of win because you're not supposed to acknowledge that they've said anything.
Right.
And then I immediately added an addendum as soon as I said it, which is like, keep in mind, I am a middle-aged white guy. And most of the people who have this problem are white folks, like middle-class white folks.
Yeah.
And I realize that in these situations, I am protected by my privilege because step number one of walking up where the person is and engaging them in a conversation may not go well for every single person.
No.
They may not wait for you to say anything. They might, freak out and be weird and all that kind of stuff. So I felt good about what I did, but in the same way, I realized that it was a benefit of my social position at this time.
Did this make you anxious? In social interactions like that, if I have to confront somebody, it really works me up. Like, more so than when I'm about to step out on stage.
Fight or flight definitely was happening. Yeah. The adrenaline was pumping.
Yeah.
I was breathing very calmly and slowing my heart rate down and all that kind of stuff. Because, it was nerve-wracking. Completely.
All right.
But I had never done anything like it before, and it felt pretty good.
All right.
So,
well, that's a breakthrough.
I may not do it ever again, but it was interesting.
Yeah. All righty.
So there we go. Went a little bit over time, but I wanted to share that story.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yay, thanks, Ben.
All right.
And anything coming up that you want to plug for the people?
I'm just going to send you Dane Cook a comedy album and have you listen to it.
Oh, man. I don't like this idea at all.
No. All right. Nothing's coming up. Happens. I'm going to get a haircut next week, so I need one. But that's all.
Oh, hey. Well, that's all
the plans I have.
Maybe I'll get a haircut, too.
Yay.
Yay, haircuts. All right. But on my vision board now, free Dane Cook comedy album is finally getting circled. I can't wait. All right.
Because I'm not going to pay for that
crap. Keep it wrong. But what's that?
Because I'm not going to pay for that crap.
All right. I figured as much. But, oh, Steven, if McCandless, if you're listening, don't.
He's gonna if he listens this long, we're already
this cannot happen. This cannot
All right. Keep it wrong, Paul.
Keep it wrong, Ben.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.